Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to take you to a passage, and actually our text is verse 15 to 17, but I'd like to take you to starting out in the very first verse of Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul writes, he says, "Be ye therefore followers," or in other words, imitators of God as dear children, "and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, that is immorality, and all uncleanliness or covetousness, that just simply means greed, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. But this ye know, that no whoremonger, that is no immoral, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man," generically, "no man or woman deceive you with vain," that is, empty words, "for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes," that is, formerly, "in darkness, but now are ye in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable," that is, well-pleasing unto the Lord. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove," that is, expose them, Paul says. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved," all things, in other words, that are exposed or made manifest or visible by the light. "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, I opened that up, reading that part of the text. I didn't plan on doing it, but I felt led to do it. When you read that, those are good words of admonishment for Paul as we look toward a new year, right? As we look to lay out our life, and if we had a mission plan, in other words, this is going to be my guide for, say, 2019. These are pretty good words to live by, right? Notice what he goes on to say in our text in verse 15. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That is, be careful how you walk, not as fools, not as unwise, but as wise. He says, "Redeeming the time, make the most of the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let us pray. Father, it is a joy to be here today in your house. Now, Lord, may we give our undivided attention to your word, and may we not be found, Lord, distracted by the things that we have to try to get accomplished on the outside of these doors. But, Lord, help us, Lord, to listen intently. And, Lord, give our undivided attention to what you have for each and every one of us. And, Lord, I realize in a room this size, and, Lord, with so many that may be out today and may not have a lot of visitors here today, Lord, there still may be one under the sound of my voice that does not know you as Savior. And we don't want to ever take for granted that fact. And if there is that one that's not sure of their salvation, that they would give their heart and life over to you today. Again, Lord, we pray for your blessings upon this time together. Bless in what is said from this pulpit. And I pray, Father, you'll just speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Vanessa is going to sing our special for us today. So we've enjoyed having her on the piano. So, Vanessa, you come sing for us, if you would. Amen. Thank you, Vanessa. Great job on the piano. And then, of course, the special. I love the message there in song. Thank you for being here with us today. In our text today, Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find that there's a word that stands out in verse 16 that talks about redeeming the time. That's making the most of the time, Paul says, because the days are evil. There's a word that goes with that that I want to kind of bring to your attention today as we face a new year. We come to the end of 1 year and we're faced, if God tarries, a new year. And that is the word resolve. You know, the word resolve just simply means to decide firmly on a course of action. And if we took the words that Paul laid out here in this chapter alone, in chapter 5, he gives us a course of action that we're to take in life. Some words of admonishment. Some things to do and some things not to do. And then he gets to our text where he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That is, he admonishes again the church at Ephesus as he went to this list that he went through in the first part of chapter 5. And he simply said, walk very carefully. Make sure that you're very careful in your walk. Resolve to walk carefully, not as fools or unwise, but as wise. And then he says something that we hear a lot about this time of year. He says, redeem the time. That is, make the best use of your time. Have you looked back already over the last few days? And, you know, you always hear this, and I've done this, and you think, boy, this year has flown by. I mean, it's just gone. And I think that has something to do with the older we get, right? I mean, you realize there are 86,400 seconds that are reserved for you and I every day. Now, when you think of it like that, you're thinking, well, that's a lot. 86,400 seconds in a day's time. I can do a lot with 86,000. But really, it just goes by. And you come to the end of the day and you think, boy, if I only had a few more hours. Or you come to the end of the year and think, boy, can we just stretch it out a little bit longer? And then there's the attitude that we have, especially if this year hadn't been the best, and in some cases maybe it hasn't been for you. You're thinking, boy, I look forward to that new year. That fresh start. You know, put the old things behind, and which is a good thing to do, and really daily. And start fresh. So this next week, people will be focusing on the time that they spent this year and the time that maybe, if God tarries, that we plan to spend in this new year of 2019. You know, this year, this church, God has blessed over the years. And I look forward to God's continual blessings in the coming years. But a church is only a church when God's people make it up. This is an empty building, as you've heard me say many times. When you leave, it's just an empty building. But what makes the church is God's people. And this year, I want to challenge you as a church to resolve the time that God gives you for His honor and glory. And what do you mean by that? Well, you see, the problem we have is not that we do not have enough time. Because really, God designed it the way He's designed it. I mean, there's enough days in the year. There's enough time in the day. There's enough seconds to get things accomplished for God that He's designed for us to get accomplished. But the problem is, like Paul, we don't redeem the time. We don't resolve the time. We don't decide firmly sometimes on the course of action that we're going to take. And as we're faced with a new year, maybe it is that time in our life where we just need to simply take some time to resolve or make plans or decide the course of action that we're going to take. Now, some things may change Some may stay the same. But the word redeem means to rescue from loss, that is to buy up or to make the most of every opportunity that we have. And I want to give you three principles just to kind of look at this morning. These are not going to blow you away type principles, but these are kind of reminders of, as we focus on this word resolve and how we might resolve the time that we have, the course of action that we're taking in this life, because again, life just seems to be flying by, but God wants us to have a course of action that we take. And I want to give you some principles concerning time and our use of it this morning. And they're just simple principles. Number one, understand that time belongs to God, and therefore, you know, very simply, we must yield our time to God. Would you agree with that? I mean, that's just an understood matter that I believe that Paul is teaching us here. By yielding our time to God means to resolve it to God, to let God really be the one that plans our day out, be the one that plans our minute, our year, our life, our families. Because you see, He's the only one that can really do that. Why? Because He is the Lord of time. I mean, we see that in Genesis. It's laid out. You go back and you study the book of Genesis, and with a spoken word, what did God do? Well, He determined the beginning of time. In the very beginning, God created. And we know that He did things in 6 days. The seventh day He rested, and we can go back and read. Now, scientists would disagree with how everything could happen in just a short amount of time, but you know what? God's the one who's in control of time. His hand set in motion the rotations of the earth, the tides and the divisions between the day and the night. Does it ever amaze you when you go down? And what I like about going to the ocean is just sometimes going on a evening time, just sitting on the beach. I don't do this often, so don't think this is something I do often. But the time I was raised up down in that in Panama City as a kid, but there were a lot of times you just go down there and sit on the beach in the evening time. One thing that I love doing is just watch the sunset, and then watch the waves just kind of just come in and just watch them go out. And the more I think about that, you know, it brought peace, and it brought just a time that I can reflect upon God and the amazement of God's handiwork. And God does that every day around the world. There are things that are taking place that only God can do, because He's in control of the time. He's in control of the night and the daytimes. And one day, by the way, it may be soon, God will speak again and time will be ended. It will. We don't know when. But God's going to speak, come on home to His children. That trumpet's going to sound. You know, all of these things are going to take place in a twinkling of an eye, as the Bible says. Now, our minutes, our hours, our days, and our years are not our own, right? They belong to God. Now, we like to make claims to them. We like to, you know, own our time, our days. But really, when it comes down to it, we know the time belongs to God. He is the Lord of time. Now, we tend to segment, or in other words, we tend to divide our time in various ways on a daily basis. Now, you know, all of us have schedules. We have times that belong to others. I guarantee you, if you don't show up to work tomorrow, your boss is probably going to let you know about it, right? Because your time, whatever amount of time you work during the week, whatever your schedule is, you belong to your boss in that time. So we belong to others when it comes to our work, our family time. I've enjoyed some good family time this week. I'm sure some of you've had that. And I've enjoyed being around family and kids and reflecting upon things together as a family, outings and holidays, and sitting around last night in our home watching a ball game with four boys and one little girl, Macy. How old is Macy? How old? 1 year. Yeah. I just want to talk about Macy, don't you? I love little Macy. And those boys. Boy, I love those boys. But boy, it was peace and quiet when they left. But I loved having them. I wouldn't do it any other way. But you know, that I enjoy family. Don't you? Enjoy that. But you know, that's time allotted to family. And we belong to others in that way. You know, but I do you ever kind of go off on your own? I've alluded to this a little bit. And you enjoy time with yourself. Now, I love my wife and I enjoy spending time with her and nobody else that I'd love to spend more time with than my wife. But there's times that she just enjoys being by herself. There's times I like being by myself, maybe just reading a book. Or you know, just quiet like it is right now. Having me time, we call it. We all need that, by the way. You know, sometimes we reflect on the wrong things when it comes to our time. We love leisure time. We love social time. But, you know, when it comes down to it, time again belongs to God, and there needs to be and there must be that time that we have with God. There needs to be that time that we spend with God on a daily basis. And let me just say this. You know, we find ways to make time for others. We find ways to make time for me. We find ways to make time for the things that we love. But really, when do we make time for God? Well, preacher, I come to church on Sunday. That ought to be enough. And for some, that's their attitude. Well, you know, I make time to come to church. But you know what? God ought to be a part of our every activity that we do in life. When it comes to family, when it comes to work, whatever it is, there needs to be that time with God. And we put it in categories, maybe that devotional time. Yes, that quiet time with God in His Word and prayer and just seeking God out in that way. There needs to be, yes, that time that we come together in God's house and in church. I love coming to church. I don't know about you, but I you know, somebody asked, well, if you wasn't a pastor, would you go to church? Well, yeah. I'm a Christian first. Yeah, I'd go. You know, and I like to tell people, and don't take this wrong, and I don't want you to think that I don't appreciate what the church does for me as your pastor, but I don't get paid to preach. I really don't. Matter of fact, I get offended if somebody says, well, we pay you to preach. No, you don't. Listen, I'm going to preach whether you pay me or not, because I'm called to preach. But again, don't take me wrong here. I appreciate that God says that it's the church that takes care of the man of God, and I appreciate that this church has been faithful to do that. You know, and I've had people, well, we pay you to preach. No, you don't. Any pastor that's worth their salt will say, listen, I don't want to be paid to preach. Because I'm called to preach whether I get paid to do it or not. And I come to church whether I don't come to church for pay. And I'm just pointing a finger at me, but, you know, why do we do what we do? Well, you know, would you come to church if somebody paid you? No. If you're a Christian, you don't come to church just because somebody pays you to come to church. That would be offensive to you. Well, you come to church because you come to worship God. Now, we have our areas of service within the church. We come to worship God. I'm here today to worship God on Sunday. I do a lot of things during the week with the church, activities part as far as things that I do with the church. But I come to church on Sunday to worship. Oh, listen, I enjoy my worship time with God. You know, and now I enjoy the time that God gives me to come to church with God's people, the fellowship that goes along with that. Now, I love ministry. I love being a part of ministry. And by the way, only preachers can be called into ministry. No, we're all called in ministry.
Now, my calling is different than maybe your calling. Yes, I'm called full time to do what God's called me to do, much like a missionary would or evangelist or whatever. But we're all, as believers, called to be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all called to minister. We all have our talents and our gifts that God has blessed us with that we're to be used in ministry, because this is all God's time. We're investing in choir, in Sunday school, in outreach, in Awana, in children's ministry, and even cleaning the church and working in the nursery. All of that is fulfilling the time that God has given us here in ministry. Thank God that we have the privilege to do that. Because you see, we belong to God, and this is all God's time. Every bit of it. So the truth is, all of our time belongs to God. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says we're just stewards of God's time. Now, what does that mean? As stewards, we are responsible to God for what we do with our time. Now, granted, some folks decide, hey, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. Well, God gives us the choice to do that. If you don't want to do that, but you know what? You are not, as a believer, if you choose to do that, you're not being good stewards of the time that God gives you. Because you see, when you say, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to read my Bible, I don't want to pray, or I don't want to serve, then you're saying, hey, God, I'm robbing you of your time. Because you know what? If we're not going to go to church, and we're not going to have our times of devotion with God, and we're not going to, you know, be active and being used with our gifts and talents to God, what are we going to do with that time? Well, I'm sure there's things we can find to waste on. But really, and I'm not pointing a finger at you this morning, at me, but that's something that Paul, I think, is telling. We need to redeem the time, resolve. In other words, when we speak of resolving, we've got a course of action that we're to follow with our time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it is required in stewards, that's us, it is required in stewards that a man or a woman be found faithful. What does he mean? He says it's required of us as believers to be found faithful. In other words, trustworthy. The most essential quality of a servant or a steward is obedience and loyalty to his master. The reason that when you go to work, or some of you that may still work or whatever, maybe you're retired, a lot of times you get advancements at work because maybe your boss sees that, hey, you know, I see something in that person I like. They've got a good work ethic, and, you know, they need a raise, or maybe they need a promotion or whatever. But I guarantee you, if you're not one that gives of your best, and you don't have a good work ethic, you can't be trusted, then you wouldn't expect any of that, shouldn't. But God says with the time that he's given us, we're to be stewards of that time. We are to be stewards. By that, we're to be found faithful, Paul says. We're to be trustworthy because, you see, we're just servants of God. David prayed in Psalm 90 and verse 12. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply, that is, we may present our hearts unto wisdom. Now, what is David saying in that verse in Psalm 90 and verse 12? He's simply saying we need to evaluate the use of the time in light of the brevity of life that we have. Life is, boy, I alluded to that earlier. It just goes by quickly. How do we evaluate that? He goes on to say that we may apply, that is, present our hearts unto wisdom. Now, that word wisdom focuses on the Lord's sovereign plan. You know what? What I like about that? What I like about being a child of God? God has a sovereign plan for every single one of us here today. In other words, we're just not thrown out into space and God says, okay, go after it. No, God has a sovereign plan for every one of us that we're to follow, but it requires time. And we're to be resolved to that. And so, nothing with God happens by mistake. I mean, we've even talked about Brother Jared Decker, 36 years old, you think that it's too early for someone that young to go. But God doesn't tell us how long life is going to be for any of us, does he? Now, thank God, Brother Jared, boy, he knew the Lord. And as sad as we are today, Brother Jared's not sad today, because you know what? As I said to somebody the other day, Jared's better off than we are. He's walking the streets of gold. Now, obviously, we need to be praying for his family. But Jared made himself ready to meet the Lord when he passed out of this life Friday night, several years ago. He's got a dad that pastors in West Virginia. He's got a brother that pastors up in Hartsel, Alabama. Is that North Alabama? He's got a brother that pastors up there. So Jared was raised in church. He was raised in ministry, and he knew the Lord. So he knew that there's a chance in life, as we all think about life, there's a chance that I may not live to see tomorrow. Now, obviously, we don't plan to go anywhere tomorrow, but you know what? God says we need to. We need to live our life and redeem the time now. Resolve with the time now. Now, we can plan, and by the way, we should plan about maybe what we're going to do 5 or 10 years down the road, but also keep in mind we may not be here. Nothing wrong with planning. Nothing wrong with setting goals. But listen, we need to make the best use of the time that God gives us now. And that's the wisdom. You see, because we don't know all of God's sovereign plan. God gives us his sovereign plan that comes in the way of salvation. If you're saved here today, that's part of God's sovereign plan. Thank God for that. Aren't you thankful for your salvation today? That maybe God brought somebody into your life that led you to the Lord. And you know what? You think, well, that person just found me along. No, listen, God led that person in your life. God allowed that person to sit down with you maybe and share with you the gospel. You know, God leads us in his sovereign plan if we're willing to follow his plan. But it requires time. And I wonder, have you ever thought about this? I wonder how much we have robbed God of, how much we've robbed ourselves of a blessing or of blessings because we didn't follow God's sovereign plan. Oh, listen. David says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So how do we yield our time to God? We yield by recognizing that it is his time. Spiritual burnout, you know, something we have to be careful of as Christians. We go to church every Sunday. If you're that faithful church member, you go to church every Sunday. Maybe you do read your Bible every day. Maybe we miss and hit sometimes. But something that faithful, committed believers have to be very careful of is something we might call spiritual burnout. In other words, I think Southerners probably can relate to this more than Northerners. Because if there's any group that probably is affected more with spiritual burnout, sometimes it's Southerners. And I'm a Southern. I'm proud of it. But you know what? People in the South think just because they're in the South sometimes, they're going to heaven. My mom and daddy was Christians. They were all good people. And by the way, that may be true. Because you know what? We got a church on every street corner. So if I get mad at this preacher, I'll just go over here. You know? Brother John Tiger, remember what he said for me when he first came here years ago. Brother John was from out in Washington State. He went out soul winning. First time going out. He comes back an hour later and he says, "Preacher, I found out that everybody in Prattville is going to heaven." I said, "What do you mean, Brother John?" He said, "Because when I go up to the door and I ask him, you go to church?" "Yeah." If you die today, you know, go." "Yeah, I know, because my mom and dad took me to church." I said, "Yeah, Brother John, that's the case in the South." And what do you? I'm leading to a point here. You know, we have to be careful that we. you know, don't get off track when it comes to our walk with God just because we may go to church or maybe know somebody that goes to church. Because knowing somebody and being faithful in church is not going to get us to heaven. Do you know the sovereign God? Do you know Him? Have you had a relationship with Jesus Christ? Not but that my mom and dad had a relationship with Him. That's not going to count when it comes to going to heaven. But have you had that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because you see, that's going to matter. But that spiritual burnout affects a lot of people in the faith that are committed Christians. Because you know what? We go to church. And I'll be honest with you. As I said earlier, I love going to church. But if it becomes something that is a routine, reading your Bible becomes a routine. If prayer becomes a routine, you're setting yourself up for spiritual burnout because you find yourself starting to do it for yourself rather than for God. You see, spiritual burnout comes upon us subtly when we forget that our time belongs to God. Sometimes we show up on Sunday and boy, maybe that preacher just didn't hit on what I needed to hear that day. Or maybe you open your Bible and it just didn't really speak to you much. Or maybe you've been having a bad week or a bad day and you know what? You just feel like God's leaving you out there all alone. Satan loves to use that as a way to pull us away from God. And to think, well, I'll just forget about God and do what I want to do. You know, as long as we claim ownership, we cannot yield our time to God. You know, our time does not belong to us. We don't have an excuse when it comes to saying, I don't want to read my Bible, I don't want to pray, I don't want to go to church anymore. Because you see, when it comes down to it, it's not a matter of what we think or what we should do, it's what God would have us do. You see, to yield means that we are to let go of it. David realized in Psalm 31, verse 15, when things are not going well, and by the way, you ever have days like that? Things don't go well? Well, you have to remind yourself that, listen, like David said in Psalm 31, 15, my times are in the hand of God. When there are bad days, when bad things happen, it seems. You know, it's important for us to realize that God is never in a hurry. Sometimes we wish God would just hurry up and fix some things. But you know what? Again, we're on God's time. And God has a purpose and a reason for things happening the way it has. And you know what? If we're just willing to wait on God, they always seem to work out best. But when we try to fix them, boy, I've gotten in trouble that way. Have you? You've tried to fix problems or in people's lives or fix matters in your own life, and you realize, man, if I just waited on God a little bit longer, God could have handled that. God would handle that. Because you see, when we trust God's timing to be perfect in every detail of our lives, then we don't have to live our lives in at such a frantic state sometimes. Thinking, boy, if I had more time. By the way, that doesn't mean that we stop doing everything and we just waste our time. But we wait on God. Trust in the Lord. Then there's a second point. We'll move quickly on this one. To resolve means we must face the shortness of time in light of eternity. And I've already alluded to that a little bit. The underlying theme of the Bible is a part of that. Face the shortness of time in light of eternity. James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away." You ever cooked over the stove and you got that boiling water and the vapor comes up, and how long does it last? Not long. It's gone. James says that's the way life is. David says in Psalm 90 and verse 4, "For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." Now, watch was, back in the day, in ancient times, the word watch was a 4-hour period of time. So, when David says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." a watch was a 4-hour period of time. So how long is life in eternity? How long is it? You get to heaven and you think, boy, I'm here now. You ain't going to have a watch to look what time of day it is, because you're not going to have to worry about it. Time is not going to matter in heaven. You know, David said also in Psalm 39, verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing in your sight. What is a handbreadth? You read that in Psalm. A handbreadth is 4 fingers in ancient times. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Kind of like 4 fingers. And they were the smallest popular meaning. Measuring unit in ancient times. Not much, is it? Life goes by quickly. And by that, if we don't focus on eternity, then we lose sight of the perspective that God gives us about time. Because, you know, we get caught up in the obligations and we get caught up in the activities and the happenings of life on earth and all of these things that take so much of our time will be of no importance throughout eternity. I watched 4 hours of a ball game last night. Now, by the way, I loved every minute of it. And I would do it again. But you know what? But when it comes down to it, it's not going to matter when it comes to eternity. I just don't believe there's going to be any Alabama football in heaven or Auburn. I don't know what we're going to exactly all that we're going to do recreation wise in heaven, but you know what? You what do you call that? Cornhole. All right, that you throw the bag. I don't know, but you know what? Sometimes we put a lot of effort into things, thinking, you know, this is going to bring joy to me, when really it may do here, but we lose sight of the perspective sometimes in our Christian life. Sometimes people will work themselves to death. Sometimes we think, well, I've got to put enough money in the bank account to live, or I have to, you know, have this recreational habit, or my kids, you know, I've got to provide them everything that they want in life, when really God says we need to keep things in perspective. We must maintain a loose hold on the things of this world. So, because you know what? They're going to pass away. Peter reminds us of that. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, Peter says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, he says. Pass the time of your sojourning. In other words, he says, conduct yourselves in fear during the time that you're on this earth. Now, in other words, we do not view our time down here as a permanent position. We're just sojourners. And I like that as a Christian. I'm glad to know that this is not eternity. But I'm just a sojourner here. I'm a pilgrim that's passing through this life. And you know what? When we get on the other side, we are, whether we like it or not, we are going to give an account of how we make the journey, how we made the journey. Did it count for Christ? Or maybe somewhere along the way we lost perspective. So the challenge is we should live daily to live our lives in such a way that our Heavenly Father is honored. Wouldn't you agree with that? That's what Paul is saying in our text. We lose sight of the perspective. How can we keep the proper perspective, though? If you knew the Lord was coming back in 3 days, let's just take 3 days. He'd come back tomorrow, right? But just say we have 3 days. Okay, we're counting now. We're counting the time, aren't we? 3 days. We're getting excited. Or maybe we're not so excited. It's a lot of it has to do with your perspective. Right? What would you do if the Lord came back? Well, some would say, well, I'll take care of my debt. Well, I'm not worried about my debt. Are you? The Lord's coming back in 3 days, the bank can have it. Amen. Now, I know that doesn't sound good, but listen, I've got other things to be concerned about maybe. Maybe there's some conflicts that need to be resolved. Well, you know what? I want to make sure those conflicts are resolved. Maybe there's some sin that needs to be confessed that I have hidden, that maybe nobody else knows about it. I'd sure want to make that right with God, wouldn't you? Maybe there's a need to go to someone and seek forgiveness because you've offended them or they've offended you and you just need to make some things right. Maybe there's some friends or loved ones that need to be witnessed to. Boy, all of us have family like that, right? All of us have family that we're not sure if they're going to go to heaven or not. We want to make sure that, listen, we've at least had the opportunity to share Christ. Well, if we knew we had 3 days to do it, what would we be doing any of that? I think we would. You know what? We're not guaranteed 3 days. We're guaranteed the very breath that God gives us right now. So what do we do with it? Well, hopefully if we need to confess sin, we confess it now. Don't put it off. If we need to resolve conflict, we resolve conflict now. Don't put it off. If we need to seek forgiveness from others or whatever, if we have a loved one that's unsaved, a friend or a neighbor, you know what? It'd do us good to maybe make a list of things and take care of it now. John said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of Him, speaking of God, that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. The night comes when we won't have that opportunity. Then thirdly, as we think about the word resolve, that course of action that we're to take, we need to consciously invest our time for the glory of God. Consciously invest our time for the glory of God. Now note with me, if we're going to redeem or resolve our time and make the most of the opportunities that God gives us, we cannot afford to merely just drift through life, right? Some are trying to do that. They wake up and really have no resolve for the day or the week. So I'll just drift through this day or this life and hope that it turns out all right. But you know what? We need to invest in eternity. How do we do that? Well, I give you these last few thoughts. We need to be watchful and prayerful. We take that from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. We need to be watchful and prayerful when Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. In other words, we're here. Peter says the end of all things is near at any moment. And he says, be ye therefore sober, that is of sound judgment, and watch unto prayer. So Peter is calling believers in this passage to live obediently and expectantly in the light of Christ's return. We're here. Listen, that trumpet could sound at any moment. What's holding back God from coming? Nothing. The next great event on God's calendar is that trumpet sounding. Now, we could go before that as far as die, obviously. But the next great event for the church is something that we look forward to maybe being a part of that generation, is to hear that trumpet sound. But Peter says, be watching. Peter knew both he was one that we need to listen to, because you know what? He lived a bitter life at one time. He lived angry at God. He lived a life of failure at one time. You know, and he was admonishing us to avoid that shame that he felt. How do we avoid that? By living for God, being watchful and prayerful. And a watchful pursuit of life means to strive to live your life wholly unto the Lord. A watchful attitude, Peter is admonishing us to have. That, you know, what does that do? That creates a pilgrim mentality. That attitude, that watchful attitude. In other words, it reminds the Christian that we're just citizens that are passing through. We're pilgrims. Our life doesn't belong to us. We belong to God. Therefore, be watchful and prayerful. And then we find we need to be seeking the Lord. As we consciously invest our time for the glory of God, not only should we be watchful and prayerful, but we need to be seeking the Lord. In other words, investing in our time. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. We have time for all things, right? I mean, we take time for meetings, for activities, ball games, for work, for play. But many have no time for God. Now, you've taken time out for God today, and only you know where you stand in this area of your life. But you know what? It's going to take having that right perspective all through the year to resolve to the fact, I'm not just going to make God a part of my life once or a few times a year, but every day of my life, every second of my life. Now, God is not wanting us to walk around feeling like we've got this halo over our head, because none of us do. But yet we have to remind ourselves next time we think, well, I'm not going to do this or do that, when we know that belongs to God. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to be involved. I'm not going to witness. What did Jesus do when He walked upon the face of the earth for 33 years? You read His life. Jesus was busy. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38 tells us a little bit. You know, why was He busy? Because He was investing into the spiritual needs of others. As we consciously invest our time, we need to not only be watchful and prayerful, not only be seeking the Lord, but we need to be investing in the spiritual needs of others. You know, we show up on church on Sunday morning. I love coming to worship God, but there's something that sometimes we come with the attitude of wondering what they're going to give to me today. Wonder what that preacher's got to give to me today. Come on, preacher, bring it on. When really it ought to be our attitude is, what can I give to invest? I hope that you receive something from this message today. I strive to receive something from the message, but if our attitude is, when we come to church, is what I'm going to get rather than what can I give, then we probably won't get a whole lot. Because I have found whenever I come with the attitude that I'm going to give something, that I usually leave with something. Because you see, investing in our time to minister to the spiritual needs of others. I mean, maybe God put you in contact with somebody today who just needs an encouraging word. Maybe somebody's going through a tough time in their life, and maybe you were there. That one person at church that day, God used to encourage me in my walk with God. Maybe you took time to pray with someone, or maybe you took time to say, hey, listen, tell me what's going on where I can pray for you. That may happen on the outside of the church doors, but we need to look for those opportunities, don't we? That's what Jesus did. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And His righteousness. We've got to determine how we're going to spend our time. Let me ask you to close by thinking about this question. When's the last time maybe you shared the gospel with someone? Now, I'm not going to ask you to answer that. And I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty. Please don't allow that question to cause you to feel guilt. Maybe it's been a long time. But I do want to challenge you, though, to ask God to bring somebody in your life, maybe this year, not just one, but several along the way, that you can share your faith with, the gospel. Because most of us probably are here this morning, saved believers, because somebody took the time to pray for us. You ever think of it that way? That somebody took time on their knees, maybe, to take your name to the Lord. God, save my daughter, save my husband or my wife, my children. And they called your name out. And you know what? They're investing their time in their prayer life that you come to know Christ. Or maybe somebody took the time to share Christ with you. And I want to challenge you in that way, to consciously invest your time for the kingdom of God. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed. 86,400 seconds are reserved every day. You know, God has not given all of us the same amount of talent. God has not given all of us the same amount of wealth. But He has given us the same amount of time when it comes to those seconds. The question is, how are we using it?